Kia ora, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to dispense with the song this hour because I felt a little embarrassed the other day when I was talking with Shane Jones and our phone system was puckered. So I've invited Shane to just finish off some of the important points he wanted to raise. Tēnā koe, Shane, thanks for your time today. Tēnā koe.
Hey, morena, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tēnā tātou, it's Friday. One day from the Chiefs and the Crusaders, the Hurricanes.
Yeah, fair enough too. Not allowed to, apparently my cousin says you can't call them the Hurricanes. They've got to be the Hurricanes. But anyway, that's a point he raised with me.
Well, we were great supporters, Emma, in the day.
I know you're a league man, so don't try and pass yourself off as a rugby guy, Shane.
No, when we lived in Pōneke in Jerry's time, my kids loved Jerry.
So did I, Jerry Collins. I particularly liked when he went down onto one leg and had a snake's hiss on the side of the field. And I think it was Eric Rush, and after dinner speech, said, "Crikey, I was looking across there, and there was Jerry with one leg on the ground, and I thought, what the hell is Gregan doing hanging out of his pants?" But anyway, that's another that's another story. I see that... RESCEPT featured yesterday with your leader. I'm concerned about moves by New Zealand First to eradicate the Independent Māori Statutory Board. You've balked at the legislation, Fisheries Amendment Bill. Bring us up to speed with your thinking, please, Shane.
Oh, we're close. We're getting closer to the election season, Dale. The reality is, fisheries policy is proving to be incredibly divisive up there at Tāmaki Makaurau amongst the different constituencies. This gives a chance for the political parties to retire back to their different corners and allow the electioneering experience for people to further have their say. The select committee can continue panel beating the bill. And it's how democracy works. This is a chance for fisheries policy to be enriched through a democratic experience. Everyone knows where our wee party stands on fisheries. We're about growth, we're about jobs, we're about industry, we are about guardrails. But we're not going to tolerate this genuflection to green fiction, and neither are we going to give in to this entitlementitis that riddles a lot of the recreational fisheries leadership, where they want to terminate commercial fishing, confiscate Māori property rights gained through the full and final settlement, for as long as NZ First is in the world of parliamentary politics, it's just never going to happen.
Well, look, you're going to have to pull up on some of this lingo. Entitlementitis, I mean, is it in the dictionary?
I beg your pardon?
Is entitlementitis in the dictionary?
Okay, I accept your point.
Okay.
I am a politician.
I know, and a colourful one at that with word usage. I did get a message actually yesterday from a bloke who took exception for you, saying that he might be a Green Party supporter. This is a 70-year-old Pākehā male. Anyway, thanks for the email. And it was something to do with the Peter Tipene being replaced by Dame Jenny Shipley when he says the person who succeeded him was another trustee, Tania Simpson. Just word play, which I guess you're okay with from time to time. Righto, why are you guys wanting to get rid of the Independent Māori Statutory Board, although I have been critical of the outfit for a while, but why do you think it's inappropriate now?
Well, it doesn't represent the Māori of Auckland. It's become, sadly, a plaything of the factionalism on the broader council. The Mātāwaka are a tiny minority on the board, and it's quite sad, actually. The main tribe, volume-wise, living in Auckland, Ngāpuhi, and they virtually have no voice, I think, other than Tauhenare. I think the guy Kake might be there as well. But apart from that, it's outlived its usefulness. It was put on there by the ACT Party. And let's test the market as to whether or not Kiwis want it to remain. Now, well, they may want it to remain.
Yeah, well, I want something to remain because they wouldn't give us a Māori ward, would they? They wouldn't give us dedicated seats. Instead, they put an independent Māori statutory board when they developed the super city. And even that title, they only got that half right.
Yeah, well, I always argued that if you were going to have, years ago, any kind of avenue for engaging with that part of the population there in the isthmus, it couldn't be confined to people from Ngāti Pāua, Ngāti Maru, the various groupings of Ngāti Whātua. I mean, Ngāti Whātua seem to be going through a strange period of time.
What do you mean?
Well, there's obviously the element up at Boot Hill, and then there's the South Kaipara, and then there's the Ngāti Whātua Runanga. I always felt that the Ngāti Whātua beneficiary list was defined too narrowly when the original settlement was done for Ngāti Whātua Ki Ōrākei. But of course, the emphasis back in those days was just to get a deal done. And because Ngāti Whātua, they got a break when Fenton made his decision and said that Hetaraka, coming from Ngāti Pāua, had no rights in and around that part of the Waitemata. And of course, Apihai Te Kawo, he secured the survivability of his people by sending Rewiti up to Kororareka and Russell and the Bay of Islands to encourage the governor to move out of Ngāpuhi and go to Waitemata. And he had an agenda, the old boy, and that was to ensure that the new government landed itself in Waitemata to hold Waikato at bay and to prevent any further depredations of Ngāpuhi. And that enabled Ngāti Whātua, modest in population as they were, to come back and live in around the Waitemata shores. And they were so small in number, that's why it was so easy for them to sell their land. Of course,
okay. we can't go into this. I appreciate
no, no,
the
no,
history.
No. They did a deal. They knew if they sold the land to the Crown and to the governor would keep Ngāpuhi away, and that was the deal that was done. Sadly, the governor afterwards never, ever, ever held to the promise of protecting their land. But they knew exactly what they were doing. If they could get the seat of government in Waitemata, then the opportunities of economic development would flow.
Tēnā koe. I'm not going to take the bite here on your travel costs. I can understand what you said, that, you know, that's out of your control. I would believe you when you said that, hey, I don't book my travel. Why would you, Shane? And so to bring this one up, what's this, a year and a half later? I just think it's a bit rich. But some people will think, oh, it deserves some discussion. I don't. If you're happy to skip it, I will. You've got a Kokoda public meeting coming up.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, oh, look, the travel thing over in Toronto, oh, mate, it's just the
we don't really need to go
politics.
There.
Politics.
You know,
nah,
and nor, no, do I, the, nor do I expect our representatives to travel economy class. It might have ballooned out, but I'm suggesting in support of you that it wouldn't have been something you did, that's something sort of beyond your control.
You know, you're not wrong. Hey, it's the froth of politics. No, we're getting closer to August the 7th. August the 7th is the three-month period prior to an election.
And it's all on now.
And it's starting to zoom up in intensity already. So we're off to Kaikoura for a public meeting. My leader's been doing public meetings down around Cambridge.
You're allowed to call him Winston.
To Kaikoura?
You're allowed to call him Winston. I do.
The Rangatira Winitanga.
All right, then. Now, listen, as long as you curb this entitledism that people are accusing you of, Mr. Jones, we'll be all good. Hey, thanks for catching up.
Oh, mate. There's always a lot of colour with me. See you later, mate.
See you
later. Bye.
Thank you. There he is. Shane Jones.